You're listening to the Weekly Portland Podcast, a slice of city life every Monday. I'm your host, Gregory Day. On today's show, we talk with Stephanie Krulovich of More Good Day Oregon on KPTV Channel 12. Now, Stephanie hosts an entertainment show featuring guests such as Fred Armisen, John Malkovich, John Stamos, Gina Davis, Nick Cage. I mean, it just goes on and on. Now, Stephanie began her newscasting career at 5 years old when she commandeered the family camera. While doing research for this interview, I did find one of those clips on YouTube.
Lottery tickets got hit by 5 million just their first game. So be sure to cross your fingers like this for your lottery tickets.
So let's jump right into the conversation. It's Dan Rosen and I speaking with our special guest, Stephanie Krulovich, on pdxpodcast.com.
Okay, so hello, Stephanie. How are you?
Great. Good to be here with you guys.
This is my co-host here, Dan Rosen.
Hi there. It's great to be here.
First, can I say, you guys were a great interview. It was so fun. I like interviewing anyone with a British accent, I'll be honest, but you guys were so great and it made me a fan. I mean, I was already a fan. I've listened to a couple episodes, but now I'm going to plow through. I'm just going to binge listen.
Well, thank you. Please continue.
Oh, well, I already listened.
I'm kidding. I'm kidding.
Okay.
So what is a typical day for you at the studio, and how do you prepare for the day? Because I know you're very busy. You have a kid, you have a child, you're married. How do you fit that all in? And perhaps you could just walk us through your day.
I love that you guys really did your research. I have a son who's 4, so he's in daycare while I'm at work. And then I pick him up from daycare after work and go home, hang out with him. Sometimes I end up giving him a little screen time so I can get some of the stuff I didn't finish at work done. But usually I wait until after he goes to bed, and then I'll, you know, finish up emails, setting stories up, or finish scripts I didn't get to while I was at the station. So it works out. It works out really well.
You have a child, and you've begun broadcasting as a child yourself. There's a YouTube clip out there with you in pigtails that I mentioned earlier when you got all red-faced. Is that how you began?
Yes. You know, that video clip, my husband actually posted that when he found it. I didn't know it was on, like, a public... Okay, I guess I need to Google that.
Really?
Because I don't know what part of it. It's like a 5-hour tape, so I don't know what part he put up, because that was a few years ago. But
you're reading about the lottery. You have a microphone.
Oh, yeah.
You're
okay.
Being a newswoman.
Yes.
And what, you're like 9 years old?
No, I was 5 going on 6. I was almost 6. And I know that because I'd just gotten home from Disneyland, and I was wearing the sweatshirt I got in Disneyland. So I was going into first grade in that. But my parents got a video camera. They rented it. Back then, you didn't own a video camera. They rented it at Home Video Library, this little place in Gresham, and we played with the video camera all day, and for years I begged for my own video camera. And then after that, we started, like, volumes. Our whole house was VHS tapes of me interviewing. I have a lot of interviews with my... I have one with my uncle that is hilarious.
So they encourage you to become a broadcaster from a very young age?
Well...
Your parents?
They did, when I was 10, get a home video camera that was for the family, but I basically commandeered the camera and shot all of our home videos. But a lot of the time, because I had a brother, you saw probably in that video that was on YouTube, he was shooting that video anyway. He was 7 years older, so by the time I was in, like, you know, 5th grade, he was kind of out in the world. So I spent a lot of time by myself just making, you know, how to make bread videos or how to do this. This is long before YouTube or anything. So it was just a whole shelf of tapes of me pretending to be an anchor or a reporter or a cook.
Right. And in college, you just sort of took that on?
No, actually. The good news is my dad does not listen to podcasts. So I can out him here. He wanted me to be a doctor, or he wanted me to do something, you know, I don't know.
Traditional.
Something other than
right.
TV journalism. Journalism. So I told my dad that I wanted to be a dentist. And I went off to college. I applied to several different universities, but told him I would be majoring in pre-med. And I started knowing full well that I was going to sneak my way into journalism. I remember my first term of my freshman year in college. I was at University of Oregon, which has a good journalism program, and I knew that I was going to be doing journalism, but I had to get there first before I broke the news to my dad that that's what I was going to be majoring in. I figured it'd be easier to break that news once I was there. He had to have known deep down that I wanted to do TV of some sort. I just don't think he would have approved of journalism, and since I had a scholarship the first year, but he was helping to foot the bill, so I had to do something that, you know, he agreed with. So I said pre-med, and then he got my report card, I remember, my freshman year, first term, and he said, "What's this grammar for journalists class on here?" And I said, "Oh, it's just like, you know, I had to take it. It fulfills a requirement." And each term, he'd see these journalism classes. Well, after a couple terms, I guess he stopped looking. He had no idea I had majoring in that, but I told him I'm minoring in business and English so that I have something to fall back on, knowing that I really didn't have anything to fall back on because this is all I've ever wanted to do. I mean, you saw the video. I wanted to do it since I was 5, 6 years, since that first time with the video camera.
Really?
Yeah. I mean, that right there was really when I decided this was what
Genesis.
I wanted to do.
Yeah,
I had a stay-at-home mom who watched local TV in the mornings, and Channel 12, actually, my station, KPTV, had a show called Ramblin' Rod, and luckily my husband has not posted that video clip on the internet because it's really embarrassing, but I was on Ramblin' Rod in the audience. My mom would take me down, and I would sit in the audience while they played cartoons. Any Portland kid, anyone who grew up here knows about Ramblin' Rod. He was on in the 70s, 80s, maybe early 90s, but he was an institution in Portland. So I grew up watching him every morning before school, and my mom watched local TV, and on my days off from school, she would take me to the live studio audience of one of those local shows that shall remain nameless because it is on a competing station, because back then, you know, KPTV didn't have a morning lifestyle show. So we would go sit in the audience, and I would get to meet the anchors there. And so really my mom she didn't know she was encouraging it, but because she was a fan of these shows and taking me along to sit in the live studio audience when the quintuplets were interviewed or when something she was interested in, when they were being interviewed, she would go into the live studio audience. And if I was off school, I would go with her.
So after college, then you immediately jumped into a job, or was it a struggle?
During college, actually. I got a job at a TV station during college.
Not bad.
I was rolling teleprompter as my first job, and then during college, I got a job as the weekend assignment editor, and then as soon as I graduated, I got an overnight producing job where I went in at like 11 p.m. and finished at 7 a.m., and I did that for a year, worked graveyard in news at a TV station in Eugene. So really, I was working in TV while I was still in college. But I finished what I did in college. So
you paid your dues. I mean, you work in graveyard shift for a year in television. I mean, that's paying your dues.
Yeah, hats off to anyone who works an overnight shift, because I've never been the same. I mean, that year wrecked me. I've had sleep. Yeah, stuff ever since then, because once you work an overnight shift. But anyway, I was able to. So my parents, while I was in college, I didn't want to go home during summer break, so I would just stay on campus and take classes during the summer. So I graduated in 3 years. And so I was able, because I just was so eager to start working full time at the station, which, by the way, is like the dumbest move ever, because I could have done, you know, I look at these kids who study abroad, or I remember thinking, oh, these kids on the fifth year plan or the sixth year plan, I'm thinking, Like, why would they want to stay here? I did not know that college is like the best time ever and you want to milk it for all you can. Instead, I was like, get me out of here so I can work full time. And that, I mean, what was I thinking?
You're focused. You're very focused. You're very focused now.
Oh, well, thank you. Sorry, I just keep going on and on, but I've never been interviewed, so it's kind of fun.
So you've interviewed Patrick Stewart, and apparently you made him choke up.
I did. I'm not proud of that. I'm really not proud of it. But gosh, I first should say he's a great interview. So I loved him. I'm not like a huge Trekkie. I mean, I fully support Star Trek. I like it, but I'm not this huge Star Trek fan. But my producer was freaking out about me interviewing Patrick Stewart. And I should say it was over satellite. It wasn't one of my interviews where I'm in person like this. So it was over satellite. She was super excited about it. And she said, hey, you got to ask him about working with Anton Yelchin, who, you know, played Chekhov in the Star Trek movies and who passed away tragically back in June. On Father's Day of this year, he passed away because of an incident with his own vehicle smashing. You know, it was a ugly, ugly situation. It's so sad because he was only like 27 years old. But he, Patrick Stewart, had worked with Anton Yelchin on a movie that was shot here in Portland, a great horror movie that if you're into horror movies, which I'm not a horror movie person, but I still liked it. It's called Green Room, and it's super scary. But Patrick Stewart's in it with Anton Yelchin. So I said, hey, you know, we interviewed Anton Yelchin, and back when I did that interview, my producer had said, ask him about working with Patrick Stewart, because she's such a huge Trekkie. And so I'd asked him, and Anton Yelchin had said these glowing, amazing things about Patrick Stewart, how he's by far cooler than anyone, you know, in his age group, and that
he's in great shape too.
He is in great shape, and he just went on. He gave the greatest soundbite about Patrick Stewart ever. So I read that quote to Patrick Stewart, and I said, this is what Anton said when we interviewed him in person, because Anton came into the studio to promote Green Room, and I read it to him. And he had to stop, and he put his head in his hands and teared up. I mean, he got really emotional. It's the saddest story you've ever heard. And, you know, he was an only child. And his poor parents, I don't know if you saw the interview with his parents, but that story is one of the most heart-wrenching entertainment stories of the year, really.
Yeah, it really is. Now, you've had a lot of guests on that. I kind of want to go over a few names and just throw a few names out there.
Sure.
Right, Tim Meadows. You love Tim Meadows from SNL.
The ladies' man. Who doesn't? Did you guys watch The Ladies' Man back in the 90s? He was one of my favorite. You know, I grew up watching SNL. So the guy making copies, Rob Schneider, I loved him. But I also love, making copies. Yeah, so I got to interview him, too, but that was via satellite. Tim Meadows, I got to interview in person twice. Love, love, love the guy. And he told us a great story. Sparks, I don't know if you remember this, but he told us a great story about... Sparks is my photographer. He just shot the interview with you, too. I should mention he's here. So
it's not your dog.
No. His actual name's James Sparks, and he's the most amazing photographer. And he's here shooting video of this right now. But that you can see on Fox 12 at 9 a.m. weekdays. More good day, Oregon. No, sorry for the shameless self-promotion there. But anyway, Sparks. yes. Thank you, Sparks. So Tim Meadows told us this great story about David Bowie, about how one of the highlights of being on SNL was seeing David Bowie. Now, this is before David Bowie had passed away. So then after David Bowie tragically died, we ran the soundbite from Tim Meadows talking about how that was the highlight of being on SNL, or one of the highlights, and he was great. Tim Meadows, I'm a huge fan. And he's on Son of Zorn Sundays at 8:30 on Fox 12 as well.
You're very good at this, you know that. You're very good at this. Fred Armisen.
Oh, be still my heart. How did you guys find all my favorites? I love Fred Armisen. I met him in person. Oh, I have chills just thinking about that, because
What?
You want to talk about starstruck. I was so starstruck. Sparks and I got to visit the set and do, like, stories from behind the scenes of season 6. And we got to interview Fred Armisen. Well, I'm a huge fan of Fred Armisen. And not just the reason I became a fan of him, I listened to an interview with him on Howard Stern. And he was this great interview. And then I heard another interview with him on Marc Maron. And he was this amazing interview. And it was like, even if you had never watched Portlandia or never seen him during his 11 years on Saturday Night Live, you would be a fan after hearing this interview, right? So after, I went up to him and I said, I listened to your Stern interview twice. I loved it so much. And he was so nice. And he talked super about Stern, and he told me, because he's a super fan of Stern, so he told me, like, how exciting it was to be on it. It was just like, wow, I wanted to sit there and talk to him forever. Of course, I had, like, 5 seconds. But still, I'm so happy that he likes Portland, that he's here all the time.
Yeah, and for another season. And he recently spoke to Gordon Ramsay. Oh, my goodness.
Yeah, another Brit. Controversial Brit.
And, you know, he comes off on TV like this nicest guy. I got to interview him in person, and he was just such a sweet, funny guy.
What was he doing here?
He actually wasn't here. I got to go to Los Angeles.
Oh, okay, all right.
To interview him at a junket for all the Fox programming. So I got to interview all the stars of all the different shows. You picked out my favorites. How'd you find? I mean, how'd you know?
He's my favorite. Jim. Is it Jim O'Hare? Is that how you pronounce it? Okay.
Okay, Sparks, remember how starstruck I was on this one? Jim O'Hare. Another beast in my heart. And I'm dead serious. I don't know people.
Parks and Recreation. Yeah. He's the big guy. Everybody humiliates him at every turn.
He's Jerry, and he's my favorite on that show. And Jim O'Hare, he goes down as one of the nicest celebs. He hugged me. I can't say enough nice things. He was such a nice interview.
Hugged you.
Yeah, and I didn't shower for a couple weeks after that because I was so starstruck. I get starstruck. You know, I had a photographer. This is before Sparks, but... I had a photographer.
You've spoken to so many stars, and you still get starstruck. That's really surprising. I mean, you spoke to John Stamos and Taylor Lautner. And you get starstruck from the guy, from John O'Hare.
Yeah.
Still, really.
Yes, and wow, he was such a great interview, such a funny guy. I really want Jim O'Hare to have his own show. The good news is he is in this season of Brooklyn Nine-Nine, also airs on Fox 12. Yeah. So he makes appearances in little shows here and there, but he goes down as one of the nicest celebrities ever.
Wow.
What are some of the celebrities that you haven't interviewed that you'd love to?
Good question.
Oh, well, I'll tell you about one because it was one I was about to interview, and then when I found out I didn't get to do the interview, I cried. So that's the one that comes to mind.
You cried?
Yeah, and I don't know if I should not say it. Well, I'll say it. I was going to potentially get to interview Natalie Portman, Oscar-winning actress. You may know her from Beautiful Girls or Black Swan or, you know, the Star Wars franchise, all that. She is in a movie that's coming out called Jackie. And I really wanted to interview her about playing Jackie O. I'm kind of an old soul. I'm into the Kennedys. I listen to the Beatles and the Beach Boys. I'm like, I'm not meant for this time, really. And so I really want to see her in that movie. It's getting a lot of Oscar buzz. I would love to interview her for that. And who knows? Maybe she'll do satellite interviews or something. So that's one right now that I would love to interview. Peter Sarsgaard's also playing in that. He's one of my favorite actors. Love him. Who else? Gosh, there are so many. I would love to interview Ed Burns. Love him. Louis C.K. I know this will never happen. I mean, I don't even think he does magazine interviews unless it's like Rolling Stone. But Louis C.K., I would actually have to be wheeled in on a stretcher because I would just be passing out. I've almost passed out on several of these interviews. And
are you joking when you say that? No, you're seriously passing out?
Isn't Louis coming to town? Isn't he doing a show locally soon?
Yep. When we first heard... So I should tell you, I'm a huge, huge, huge Paul McCartney fan. You guys are British, so I'm hoping you maybe like his music.
Course. We're both related to the Beatles in some shape or form, right?
Well, you guys have a similar accent, you know, now that I think about it. So I love...
Definitely Greg.
I am a huge Beatles fan, so the Rose Garden did this thing where they were like, yeah, Paul McCartney's obviously one. Elvis, if we could bring him back from the dead, that'd be great. But certainly Paul McCartney, Jim Gaffigan, another one of my favorite comedians, Louis C.K. These are all people I would not live to interview because I would die of a heart attack. I'd be so starstruck. Like, I've come close to passing out, and Sparks has seen it. When I interviewed Kathleen Turner, remember how I was shaking and I couldn't eat?
And your enthusiasm is infectious. I mean, it comes across, like, in your interviews. It's like, and sort of on the same sort of subject, I just wonder how you are so enthusiastic so early in the morning, because you have to just be so on. And I'm not a morning person myself, but you just light up the mornings. I'm like, how do you do that day in and day out?
I am actually not a morning person. And so that is like the biggest compliment, Dan, that you just gave me, because if I seem like a morning person, that is, I'm faking it real well, because I'm not. I drink a lot of coffee. A lot of times my husband will get to the coffee pot and be like, you didn't even leave me even so much as a drop. So I'm a big coffee drinker. But the other thing is the adrenaline from this show, because I love this show, Morgue de Oregon. I love it so much. Like, every single story is fun. I'm interested in all of it. We get to interview the most fun people. I mean, I can't imagine a better job. I want to knock on wood right now, because it's just, like, so much fun. It's such a blast that I can't help but be enthusiastic about it. But I also drink, like, 2 to 3 cups of coffee, and I recently started brewing my own kombucha, so you add the caffeine from one of those on, that could be it.
I've done that too. It's quite the art to brew kombucha. You start with the mother, and then you've got to get rid of all the fruit flies that start, you know, it's quite an ordeal, but worth it in the end, right?
Well, had I known, I would have brought you a jar. I have a new batch right now. I would have next time, if we ever do a part two, because I'm talking your ear off and you're probably out of time, but I would bring you.
Absolutely not. I do want to go back to your background. You're half Croatian. Now, and you've met John Malkovich. Mm-hmm. And did you talk about that?
Yes. He was another one I was so excited about. I mean, I've been a fan of his since before Mice and Men, just because the last name, you know, we thought, oh, this is before Google, whether you could Google and see, is he Croatian, is he Serbian, is he, you know, like, I didn't actually know for sure until the internet was born. But I'm that old, yes. I did not have email until after college. Anyway, meeting him was awesome, and I was so excited about the Croatian thing. I mean, I wanted to bring him a, you know, flag of Croatia shirt and all of that, but I tried to just rein in my enthusiasm. I asked him about it, and he said his grandfather was Croatian, so, you know, he's several generations, and he says that every Croatian, you know, wants to know about his Croatian heritage, and that he's been there, he loves it. He was so nice to me. He was so nice. And he could tell I was super starstruck, because that was, you know, when the show had first started, so I hadn't done a lot of these celebrity interviews, so you want to talk about starstruck. Plus, he's, you know, my favorite Croatian.
Yeah.
So, I mean, aside from all of my relatives and Croatian friends here in town, my favorite celebrity, I should say.
You come across very polished and professional on air. And what I want to ask is, every person has a blooper reel, and I'm sure that you do too. What is on your blooper reel let's say there's a 5-minute blooper reel, what would be the top three bloopers that you could admit to?
Well, as far as the blooper reel goes, all you have to do is tune in weekdays 9 a.m. Fox 12 Oregon More GDO. I mean, it's a blooper a day for sure. Knock on wood, because I don't want to have a blooper-filled show tomorrow now that I said that. But, I've had more bloopers than I can count. In terms of most embarrassing, there was the waffle cone incident of 2013. The beauty of newsrooms, we get a lot of free food. So for many years, I lived on free newsroom. Oh, yeah, because people will bring in it's National Whatever Day. We're bringing this by the TV station. Just there's a lot of free food in newsrooms. And if there's breaking news, the news director will usually order a pizza. So there's day-old pizza. There's always food in a newsroom. And people who work in a newsroom will eat anything. In fact, I heard a story about a TV station that put a bowl of dog food out during Christmas time and a camera, and people were actually eating it. Like, people will eat anything in a newsroom. So I found some waffle cones that had been left out in the break room, and there was no ice cream left, but I thought, hey, it's a perfectly good waffle cone. I'm going to eat it. Well, I like to cut things close, so we're in the commercial break. I'm finishing up my waffle cone. Did not know that it was coming out cold to me. I thought there would be at least a toss for me to swallow my waffle cone. Well, when I say waffle cone, it wasn't one of those homemade. It was one of those sharp, pointy, not a sugar cone. Yeah. That's what it was. Not a waffle cone. It was a sugar cone. The corner of it got jabbed at my throat, so I'm sitting there trying to talk, and this was back when I was doing weather, so I said, that's right, it's raining, and I choked on the air, and then I had to send it back over to the anchors, and it was embarrassing. I got a really hard time. I hope my boss doesn't hear this, because I was hoping she'd kind of forgotten about that incident by now. It did happen now, yeah, gosh, almost 4 years ago, so I'm hoping that's forgotten about. Then when I was pregnant, I cried on air. But it was a really sad story. It was after a sad story, and they came out to a four shot on the desk, and I was tears everywhere. And I don't even remember what the story was about, but it's one of those, we call them kickers, the cute aw story at the end of the show.
Yeah.
And so I cried on TV, and then once I fell out of my chair when they came to me, and that my husband had posted on Facebook. I hope it's off the internet now. But I actually fell down on camera.
And your husband likes embarrassing you.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he loves it. He loves it. When I fell in the weather center, it was, I actually tripped over, it's one of those office chairs, I just tripped and I ate it out of the chair trying to pop up for my weather hit. So those are the three, but the list goes on and on and on.
So do you miss doing the weather?
You know, this job is so fun. I haven't missed it at all. And the cool thing about it is I get to talk about the weather every single day. Every single day, because we're coming back with a live camera. My producer needs me to fill 20 seconds. I get to talk over a 7-day. I'm talking about the weather every single day. In fact, I think I'm talking about the weather more frequently now than I was when I was doing a 3-minute weather cast every day. So I don't miss it.
Us being Brits, we're obsessed with the weather, so... You know, if you go to the UK, all anybody's talking about is the weather. So, you know, the weather reporters and weather girls and boys, they are total celebrities in the UK. You know, there's these people who are just top A celebrities from just telling people what the weather is. So.
Yeah, you know. And the weather there's, it's not like it's something fun to hear about, right? It's not like it's a San Diego weather forecasting job.
It's kind of similar to here, actually. Yeah, the weather. It's a lot of rain.
That's true.
Yeah.
We feel very comfortable here.
Yeah.
Now,
I love that you guys chose to make Portland home. And I love that it's two Brits doing a Portland podcast. We'll be talking about that in the story we're going to do on you guys. But yeah. I just think it's... so cool hearing these British accents, but you're both so knowledgeable about the town because you've both lived here for forever.
Yeah,
exactly. We love it. Yeah,
that's true. We love Portland. That's why we're doing a show. Now, I want to ask you. You're very connected. Now, you're very connected in this city. That sounded like a mafia thing. But
I am from Gresham.
Right. Well, you judged Funniest Person of 2016 mm-hmm. at Helium. How did you land that gig?
You know, because I've been doing interviews with comedians there. Yeah. And, you know, local comedians will go into different stations and do interviews, but we do something different. We go to the comedian at the comedy club, sit down, and I'm such a comedy nerd that I sit down like you guys. I'm like you guys. I've read the person's, you know, memoir. I've watched every interview they've ever done. I've listened to them on every podcast they've ever done. Yeah. So I go in with a full obsession, you know, and I sit down and like I really research the people I interview, and I think that because I'd done that with the comedians I'd interviewed there, they knew I was a big comedy nerd and that I
going around on you, yes.
So yeah, so I was very honored to be asked because I love the people at Helium. Helium gets great acts. We're really lucky to have a Helium in Portland.
And you're a big fan of the Old Jane Comedy Festival. You really enjoyed yourself there. You sort of raved about it on Twitter.
Sorry about that. Yeah. Well, here's the reason. We did a story on it last year, and I went not knowing any of the lineup. But while I was there, I'd taken one of my coworkers and his wife was saying, "Hey, this girl, I'm really excited to see her because she's a writer on this show called Broad City." I don't know if you've heard of the show Broad City, but it's like the female version of Workaholics, which is also just, I mean, you got to have the kind of like, I don't know how to describe these shows, but they're both hilarious. So the funniest gal there was this writer from Broad City. So I went home and I was like, you know, the girl's not on the show, but she wrote it and she was my favorite stand-up there. And then Broad City became my favorite show. And so because I discovered one of my favorite comedians through that festival, I was so excited to cover it this year. And this year, Maria Bamford headlined. Now, I didn't get to interview her, but I did get to go to the show, and it was amazing. She did not disappoint. So, any local comedy. It's not just, I mean, I love Old Jane. I love Bridgetown. But any sort of comedy coming to Portland, I'm a fan. I mean, I could go to a stand-up show every night if I wasn't old and going to bed at 8 p.m.,
or interviewing us.
Yeah.
Tell us a little bit about how you got the job that you have right now, because we got to a bit of your early career, but you were, correct me if I'm wrong, but you were an intern for the station you are at now?
No. So I graduated from college in 99. I'm 38, so you don't have to do the math there. I'm 38. I know I look like I'm going on 80, but that's just lack of sleep. So, no. I graduated from college in 99, did that year as an overnight producer. And then the boss at my station in Eugene, I wanted to report. They were letting me report one day a week, but I wanted to report full time. And she said, you know, we don't allow people straight out of college to have on-air positions. You're going to need to move to a smaller market, which now Eugene pulls people straight out of the University of Oregon all the time. So I had a lot of free station food then. On free bagel Fridays, I would take the leftover bagels, and that would be my food for the weekend. But
I love stories of the struggle. I really do.
Yeah. Some of the best memories were from Medford. So I was not making a lot of money. Went into my boss, said, "Hey, could I work for, could I take the weekend weather job once it becomes available and do weather on the weekends to work extra?" Yeah. And he said, "Yeah, but you'll be working 7 days a week if you do that." And I thought, well, great, because I was still, you know, super eager beaver, even though I'm a duck. But yeah, I jumped at the chance, and I ended up liking doing the weather as much as I liked doing news. So at that point, I went into the Mississippi State meteorology program, which is what most of the on-air TV meteorologists are.
Okay. Okay, I want to ask you about Tommy Wiseau.
He's a character.
Is he a space alien? Is he, what's he like?
Oh, he is a man of mystery. That was an interesting one. You know, so I do these this research on these people, and I become obsessed with them. So
I'm the same way. I go through the same thing.
Yeah, I found out from him. We were doing a story, an interview at Cinema 21.
Yes.
And the guy said, hey, this guy is coming in, the guy who made the movie The Room. And I am a movie nerd, so you'd think I'd heard of this movie. But anyway, so I thought, I'm going to get to interview this guy. I've got to bone up. So I read the book. I watched the movie. I did all the book that the Greg Sestero, the actor, in it wrote.
Testosterone.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, that's what you call him? He is. I'd love to interview him someday. But anyway, there's some buzz around The Room because James Franco's doing a remake with Dave Franco and Seth Rogen. And I can't wait to see that. But because of that, this movie has buzz around it. I interviewed Tommy, and oh, it was an interview like nothing else. It was, you saw it?
You were very excited to talk to him.
I'm telling you, because I had researched him. You know, I watched The Room. I memorized the lines.
It was genuine. The excitement was genuine.
Oh, yeah. I hope that's not annoying to people, because I really genuinely am this excited. I'm starstruck over... I'm a fan of everything. That's the other thing. So any person who can write a joke or make a movie, like, I'm an instant fan that someone who can do a podcast. I'm a fan of you guys because you're doing it.
Well, thank you so much for talking with us today, interviewing us, and just being full of energy.
Well, it's been a pleasure talking to you. You've been a wonderful guest.
Thanks for having me, guys.